Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Carl Grossman, a professor of journalism at State University of New York College of Old Westbury, who has specialized in doing investigative reporting in a variety of media for more than 40 years. He's the chief investigative reporter for WVVH-TV, host of the nationally aired TV program Enviro Close-Up, and the author of six books, including Cover Up, What You Are Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear Power, Power Crazy, and The Wrong Stuff, The Space Program's Nuclear Threat to Our Planet. He has received numerous awards for journalism, including the George Polk Award, James Arison, and John Peter Zenger Awards. Welcome to Background Briefing, Carl Grossman.
A pleasure, Ian.
So what's going on with radioactive fish here being caught down here in south of us in San Diego in August of last year? They caught 15 Pacific bluefin tuna and found levels of radioactive cesium 10 times higher than fish caught in the previous years. And the assumption is, of course, it's to do with the Fukushima disaster in Japan. First of all, it seems odd that we're only learning about this now.
Well, there's been this enormous cover-up. I mean, it's been going on essentially since the accident began, and the accident is continuing at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plants. This is something that's finally slipped out. I mean, it was predicted all along because of so much of the radioactive poisons getting into the sea. These reactors are along the sea and affecting the whole marine chain, and there you have an issue, and this is of great concern in terms of the tuna, of what's called CF, or concentration factor. In other words, the radioactivity gets into the seaweed, little fish eat the seaweed, bigger fish eat the little fish, and ultimately bigger fish eat the medium-sized fish, and now we're talking about, among other fish, tuna. And here we have a migratory tuna that has come east and off the shores of California. The bottom line here is that the marine system, the marine ecosystem, has been polluted. We're talking about a huge system as well by radioactivity from Fukushima, and in terms of levels, we have this issue of the concentration factor, because as these poisons move up the food chain, they get more concentrated. I love tekamaki. I would not be eating tekamaki sushi for, frankly, a long time. Just on the air, we're talking cesium that has a 30-year half-life. In other words, it takes 30 years before it's half as radioactive from when you start. You multiply a half-life by 10 to 20 to determine its hazardous lifetime. So 20 times 30 is 600 years that cesium is going to be radioactive.
So on top of the fear about mercury poisoning, now we have to worry about radioactive poisoning?
Yeah. I mean, toxic chemicals are very serious. In fact, one of my books is on toxic chemicals and the relationship between, between cancer and toxic chemicals that are in the air, in the water, mercury in fish, and so forth and so on. I hate to compare one to the other, but radioactive poisons are, it's very difficult to compare. It's like comparing a typhoid and diphtheria. I mean, you're talking about two horrors. And furthermore, when you have Rachel Carson wrote about this 50 years ago, Silent Spring came out in 1962, and she wrote about how when you have chemical toxins and radioactive toxins in combination, two and two don't equal four, there's a synergy, and it becomes a much worse situation. And again, going back to the focus in my book on toxics, and many of my writings and television work on nuclear, the end product is most frequently, this is the big disease caused by these pollutants, these poisons, cancer.
Again, I'm speaking with Carl Grossman, professor of journalism at the State University of New York, and he's the author of a number of investigative books. He's an investigative journalist, an award-winning investigative journalist, and he has written Cover Up, What Are You Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear Power, Power Crazy, and The Wrong Stuff, The Space Program's Nuclear Threat to Our Planet. We're talking about radioactive tuna fish here in California and the extent to which what has happened in recently in Japan with the multiple meltdowns at Fukushima Daiichi, how the pollution has traveled across the Pacific, but nobody quite knows the extent of the pollution. We also know, by the way, that the nuclear power plant just to the south of it at San Onofre is something of an enigma. It's not entirely clear what's happening there at that plant. The NRC, of course, just got rid of the head of the NRC. He was eased out, forced out, whatever. He resigned. I tried to look into that, and I wasn't quite satisfied that I've got the full answer here. So I don't want to load up too many things. Let's do these one at a time. Let's talk about JASCO, who just was forced out of the NRC. I understand he basically was saying we've got to learn the lessons from Fukushima. We've got to have more safety. And he also was the one who insisted that the San Onofre plant get shut down back in January, and it's still shut down because of safety concerns. And he's been getting howls of pressure from Congressman Issa and others who want the damn thing back online, even though they don't know what's wrong with it. So do you think that JASCO got ran out of town?
Yeah, he was a crucified. I mean, the nuclear industry has been so upset with Gregory JASCO, who's not an anti-nuke person. I mean, he has a PhD in physics. He's quite supportive of nuclear power, indeed. Or Chris Payne, he's from the Natural Resources Defense Council. He's a Greg, and I'm quoting him, is not anti-nuclear, but he's pro-nuclear in a smart and considered way. However, the nuclear industry and his fellow commissioners, JASCO's fellow commissioners on the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, are more pro-nuclear power in the stupidest and the most inconsiderate in terms of respect for life way. And the nuclear industry has wanted him out. He has been demanding, this has been going on since the start of the Fukushima accident, that we, at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, we begin to apply lessons learned, this is the words he used, from the Fukushima disaster, to their policies and to their decisions. And that's not been happening. For example, in February, the NRC okayed the license of the first two new nuclear power plants that it's given a construction license for in the U.S. for in decades, to the Vogtle site. And what JASCO said in this 4-1 vote, 4-4, 1 against JASCO, is that I can't support issuing this license as if Fukushima has never happened. Again, this is very upsetting to the nuclear industry that wants a revival of nuclear power. As to San Onofre, with the situation with the steam generators, I mean, the person who has been raising the issue of safety, and I know the San Onofre plant. I mean, in fact, I was down your neck of the woods just a few months ago going between L.A. and San Diego. You pass, I mean, the road takes you there. They are those nukes, and they're disasters waiting to happen because of the problem with the steam generators and this enormous screw up with Mitsubishi trying to provide a fix, and it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's still unclear whether this is going to do the job. JASCO has said he's not going to support start of the San Onofre plants until he is totally convinced that things are safe. However, you're dealing with a minority of one at the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, and talking this way is very upsetting to the nuclear industry. So the nuclear industry went after him and forced his resignation. It's a real horror story because, I mean, other things the NRC has been doing now over the descent of JASCO, I mean, there's a long list of them, we're talking about life and death here. We're talking about, in the wake of Fukushima and what it's revealed about the lethality of nuclear technology, in the wake of Chernobyl, as to what it's revealed and the consequences of Chernobyl. I mean, the projections now are a million people worldwide have died as a result, largely from cancer, of the poisons, the radioactivity that was discharged from Chernobyl, and that mainly was cesium, which is what's in the tuna fish, cesium that spread all around the world. In the wake of all this, you have the nuclear industry and the nuclear establishment. I mean, it's beyond just industry. What you have are all the national nuclear laboratories like Los Alamos or Lawrence Livermore, which run by, in fact, University of California, that's the manager, and the other national nuclear laboratories around the country, the Department of Energy, which is, I mean, two-thirds of the budget of the DOE has to do with nuclear weapons and has to do with nuclear power. It's not really a Department of Energy, it's Department of Nuclear Energy. And then you have the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which was set up in 1974. We used to have one agency involved with nuclear power. It's called the Atomic Energy Commission. But in 1974, Congress, which has long been in the pocket of the nuclear industry and nuclear establishment, voted to abolish the AEC because it had two missions, to promote and to somehow at the same time regulate nuclear power, and created in its stead was the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and later this DOE. But the bottom line here in terms of the NRC being some sort of independent, neutral regulator of nuclear power, the NRC has never denied a construction or operation, neither did the Atomic Energy Commission, the AEC, neither ever denied a construction or operating license for any nuclear power plant anywhere, anytime in the United States. As Kevin Camps of the organization Beyond Nuclear says, it's really the Nuclear Rubber Stamp Commission, NRC, Nuclear Rubber Stamp Commission. And here you have this man, JASCO, who, again, not anti-nuclear, but he was concerned deeply about safety, and he knows what nuclear technology is about and the dangers of nuclear technology, and still his voice was one that threatened those who promote nuclear power in industry and government, and he was drummed out, forced to resign.
Well, of course, we're just learning today that the San Onofre power plant south of Los Angeles, this is already in trouble because it's been in the dark since January, while investigators try to figure out why the tubing that carries radioactive water to these new steam generators have eroded at an alarming rate, in some cases spilled nuclear radioactive water. And eroded really rapidly. But we're also just finding out today that at this same troubled nuclear power plant, it's operated for three decades with equipment that would have cut off the plant's emergency power supply in the event of an earthquake. Well, here we are, you know, this is ground zero for earthquakes here in Southern California, not to mention that San Onofre is right on the ocean, and if there's a tsunami, there's only a 30-foot wall that they put up to prevent the generators from being overrun. But, of course, the water will go around the sides of the wall in the event of a tsunami at any rate. So it's a kind of carbon copy of in many ways, of Fukushima. So
yeah, and then beyond that, you have the fire safety issues. And, you know, recently CBS out there did a good expose on decades based on documents that they were able to, CBS was able to dig up records of these fire problems. As to the earthquake issue, I mean, here are the 54 Japanese nuclear plants, beyond the six at Fukushima Daiichi, built on I mean, Japan essentially is the size of California, in the middle of all of it, earthquake zones. I mean, to build nuclear plants in Japan in this very unstable geological situation was nuts. To build nuclear plants in California in terms of the earthquake situation, and it's not just San Onofre. I've not only been to San Onofre, I've been to Diablo Canyon. I mean, you drive around Diablo Canyon, and the only industry in that area, hot spots. I mean, it's too in a geologically hot area. California, nowhere, was no place to build nuclear power plants. I mean, in my judgment, nuclear power plants should be built nowhere, period. Because when you have an accident, I mean, look at Fukushima. It's thousands of miles from California. I'm here in New York, and the East Coast, too, has felt the consequences of Fukushima in terms of radioactive fallout. The Radiation Public Health Project has done an analysis of deaths, that what they call excess deaths, which it ties in, Radiation Public Health Project. Just go to radiation.org on the computer. You'll see these reports.
Well, now, are there reports on California, though?
The highest rates, this is in the 3 months after the accident, of Philadelphia, of infant mortality, because the radioactivity from Fukushima, I mean, moved east, and often what occurs is that it hits mountains, there's rain, it falls out in a very...
Well, just in closing, Carl Grossman, just give us, in the last minute, give us a sense of the woman that President Obama chose to replace JASCO at the NRC. Of course, he was run out of town. They said he was too abrasive, and he insisted on safety measures, and he voted, it was always voted 4-1 in terms of safety versus more licenses. And it's pretty bizarre that somebody would be canned because they were abrasive when in fact they were advocating for public safety. Alison McFarlane, what do you know about her, his replacement?
I know a good deal. I mean, she's a professor, associate professor. She was on this commission that Obama put together on America's nuclear future. Like, we're supposed to have a nuclear future, and let's kind of figure out the nuclear future. She says she's a nuclear power, an agnostic, which is interesting. I mean, is this a religious issue, nuclear power? In fact, it is. Some of these national nuclear laboratories, and I've been to several of them, the nuclear engineers there, the nuclear physicists, some of them refer to themselves as nukies, like moonies. I mean, it's like a cultish situation. In any case, she's not, like JASCO, anti-nuclear. She says she's an agnostic. She evidently has to talk in religious terms. If she tries to be a person concerned about safety like JASCO, she will be run out of town as well. We have to, as I mentioned, the Atomic Energy Commission was abolished. We must work, all of us together, politically and in other ways, to have the Nuclear Regulatory Commission eliminated, abolished too, and beyond that, to eliminate every nuclear power plant in the U.S., and work to eliminate every nuclear power plant worldwide and turn to safe, clean, renewable energy technology. I mean, nuclear power only provides for 20% of the electricity in the United States. That could be substituted for by solar and wind and safe energy that we can live with.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Carl Grossman.
A pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Carl Grossman, a professor of journalism at State University of New York College of Old Westbury. He specialized in doing investigative reporting in a variety of media for more than 40 years and is a chief investigative reporter at WVVH-TV and the host of the nationally aired TV program Enviro Close-Up, and the author of 6 books, including Cover-Up, What You Are Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear Power, Power Crazy, and The Wrong Stuff, The Space Program's Nuclear Threat to Our Planet. He's received numerous awards for journalism, including the George Polk Award, the James Aronson, and the John Peter Zenger Awards. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.